The first reading is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17, which can be found on page 1197 of the Church Bibles. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, which can be found on page 972. Or is it 971? The wise and foolish builders. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Estelle. Morning, everyone. Let me pray. Father God, speak as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word this morning. Amen. Well, since 2006, I've kept a record of every book that I've read. Now, that doesn't include theology books, but sort of more sort of fiction, autobiographies. And then at the end of each year, I choose my favourite book that I've read that year. It's sort of my own personal equivalent of the Booker Prize. There's no sort of ceremony. I don't dress up in Dickie Bow, but I like to sort of go, oh, which has been the one I've enjoyed the most? For those of you interested, my favourite book of 2025 was A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles. Anyone read that? Yeah, quite a few. Brilliant book. If you haven't read it, do read it this year. Every December, a friend of mine sends out two lists of the top 10 books that he's read that year. One is a list for leaders, and the other one is a list for disciples. And his number one book every year in each category is the Bible. And this is what he wrote in December. The book I read more than any others in 2025, which again I recommend to followers of Jesus, is the Bible. Now, you probably know that every year more copies of the Bible are sold than any other book. But you won't find the Bible on the bestseller list because it is the ultimate evergreen book. It dominates in total, cumulative, and year-over-year sales. It's said to be the top-selling book in the world, with roughly 80 million copies sold or distributed annually. Well, this morning we come to our fourth statement of belief as a church. We believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God, useful for teaching and guiding us in our daily lives. Well, that's a pretty bold claim, isn't it? Because if the Bible is the infallible Word of God, then it's not just a book that we enjoy reading. It is a voice that we need to listen to. It's not merely a source of comfort. It is a source of authority. And it's not only something we read on Sundays, but something that shapes us every day of the week. Well, perhaps we're racing too far already. What do we mean by the Word of God? Well, when we say that the Bible is the Word of God, we're making a very bold claim. We're saying that this book is not merely a human collection of religious thoughts or moral teachings. It's not just history or poetry or wisdom, though it contains all these. We believe that behind the human authors stands a divine author. Now, as we heard in the first of those readings from Estelle this morning, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, these words were written by a seasoned servant of God to a younger pastor who was facing opposition, confusion, and cultural pressure. Paul understood Timothy would not survive on charisma or intelligence or popular opinion alone. He would survive only by anchoring himself and his ministry in the Word of God. And the same is true for us today. But note, Paul says all scripture is God-breathed. That phrase, God-breathed, reminds us that scripture originates from God himself. He speaks through human writers. The phrase that's translated God-breathed literally means breathed out by God. It reminds us, doesn't it, of the creation story in Genesis where God breathed life into Adam and made him a living being. In the same way, scripture carries the very breath of God, his life, his authority, his truth. To put it another way, the words are human, but the message is divine. And because scripture is God-breathed, it carries God's authority. So this means that when scripture speaks, God speaks. When scripture teaches, God teaches. When scripture corrects, God corrects. And when scripture comforts, God comforts. Well, in a world that is increasingly sceptical about absolute truth, to claim that all scripture is infallible is not an easy claim to make. And yes, you may well have some fun in your life groups this week discussing this. But to say that the Bible is infallible means this, that it is trustworthy, that it is reliable, and that it is true in all that God intends it to teach. It doesn't seek to mislead. It doesn't seek to deceive. And just as a compass points to magnetic north, regardless of a traveller's circumstances, the infallible word provides absolute truth in a world of subjective changing opinions. I'll say that again. Just as a compass points to magnetic north, regardless of a traveller's circumstances, the infallible word provides absolute truth in a world of subjective changing opinions. In September 1938, there was a man who was living on Long Island, and he satisfied a lifelong ambition by purchasing a very expensive barometer. When he got the instrument arrived at his home, he was extremely disappointed to find that the needle appeared to be stuck. It was pointing to the sector which said hurricane. So after shaking the barometer vigorously several times, he sat down and he wrote an angry letter to the store from which he had purchased the instrument. And the following morning, on his way to his office in New York, he mailed the letter. That evening, when he returned to Long Island, he found not only the barometer missing, but his house also. The barometer's needle had been right. There was... what the Bible points out is always true. The psalmist declares in Psalm 19, verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple." Jesus himself affirmed the reliability of Scripture. He quoted it. He obeyed it. He submitted himself to it. When tempted, Jesus responded again and again with the words, "It is written." He trusted Scripture as the final authority. If the Son of God relied on the Word of God, we dare not treat it lightly. Believing that the Bible is infallible is not just about defending doctrine. It's about being guided each and every day. Another psalm, Psalm 119, verse 105, declares that your word is a lamp to my feet, a light on my path. If you think about a lamp for the moment, it doesn't illuminate the whole journey at once, but rather it gives just enough light for the next step. And God's word often works in that way. It doesn't always answer every question we have about the future, but it faithfully guides us in the present. When we're unsure how to respond to conflict, Scripture teaches us forgiveness. When we're tempted by sin, Scripture warns us of its cost. When we're discouraged, Scripture reminds us of God's promises. When we're confused by the world's shifting values, Scripture anchors us in truth. And so you see, the Bible doesn't merely inform us, but rather it forms us. The Bible is useful for teaching us who God is and who we are. From Genesis to Revelation, we learn that God is holy, is loving, is just and merciful. We learn that humanity is created in God's image, yet fallen and in need of saving. And we learn that Jesus Christ is God's answer to our deepest need. Yes, the Bible teaches us doctrine, but it also teaches us wisdom. It instructs us how to live, how to love, how to pray, and how to endure suffering. Without Scripture, our understanding of God quickly becomes distorted, shaped more by culture than by truth. But Scripture also teaches us things we might not want to hear. It challenges our pride. It confronts our selfishness. It exposes our sin. And yet it does so not to condemn us, but to lead us into repentance and life in all its fullness. Scripture is also our guide and corrector. Paul tells us Scripture is useful not only for teaching, but for rebuking and correcting. They seem harsh words, don't they? But what does Paul mean there? Well, Paul simply means this, that Scripture, it exposes sin, it challenges false beliefs and corrects dangerous paths. See, the Bible is not simply about affirming us, but about transforming us. And that purpose of transformation isn't always comfortable, is it? Because the Bible doesn't exist to affirm everything that we think or feel, but rather it lovingly calls us back to God's will. Like a good parent or a faithful friend, Scripture warns us when we're heading towards harm. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 reminds us, "For the word of God is alive and active. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." But before we sort of think, well, actually, does that mean just that the Bible is just telling us how bad we are? No, it doesn't merely point out what is wrong, but it shows us how to make it right. Scripture restores us to the right path. When we fall into sin, Scripture leads us to repentance and forgiveness. So you see, correction isn't condemnation. Often we think that it is, don't we? But it's not condemnation. In Christ, Scripture corrects us so that we might grow and mature in our faith, that we might live daily lives that are honouring to God. You see, if we truly believe the Bible is infallible and useful, then it cannot remain closed on our shelves. It must be opened in our homes, read in our quiet moments, studied in community, prayed through in times of need. Back in 2015, the then Pope Francis, was asked to write a prologue for a new youth Bible, which was being published by the Catholic Church. And this is how he began the prologue. "My dear young friends, if you could see my Bible, you would not be particularly impressed." "What? That's the Pope's Bible? Such an old, worn-out book. You could buy me a new one for $1,000, but I would not want it. I love my old Bible, which has accompanied me half my life. It has been with me in my times of joy and times of tears. It is my most precious treasure. I live out of it, and I wouldn't give anything in the world for it. The Bible is not meant to be placed on a shelf, but to be in your hands, to read often, every day, both on your own and together with others." You see, Pope Francis was making that point that Scripture is for everyday life. It guides us in our decision making, in our relationships, in our work, in our suffering. It teaches us how to respond when we're hurt, how to forgive when we're wronged, and how to trust God when life is uncertain. And as we heard from that second reading from Matthew's Gospel, Jesus compared the person who hears his word and puts them into practice like someone who builds their house on rocks. Storms will come, but the foundation will hold. Ultimately, the Bible's greatest purpose is not to make us smarter or more religious, but it is to lead us to Jesus. He is the living Word made flesh, and every page of Scripture points to Him. From the promises in Genesis, to the prophecies of Isaiah, to the cross and the resurrection in the Gospels, and on, Scripture tells one unified story of God redeeming his people through Jesus Christ. If we end up reading the Bible without encountering Jesus, then we've missed its very heart. So this morning, let's reaffirm this belief again as individuals and as a church, not as a slogan, but as a commitment. We believe the Bible is the infallible Word of God, useful for teaching and guiding us in our daily lives. Let's commit to reading Scripture regularly, to studying it, to trusting it fully, and to obey it joyfully. Let's allow God's word to shape our minds, to correct our hearts, and to guide our journey as followers of Jesus. Let's just have a moment's quiet, and I'll lead us in a short reflection. Let me ask two questions. What have you thought about the Bible? Where does it stand in your thinking today? Is there one thing that you've heard this morning which has made you think again? God's word is not merely human wisdom or helpful advice. It is God-breathed, perfect in truth, trustworthy in promise, and powerful to change hearts. In a world of shifting opinions and uncertain voices, Scripture stands firm. It teaches us who God is, reveals our need for grace, and points us to Jesus Christ, the living Word made flesh. When we submit ourselves to the authority of God's word, we are not constrained, we are set free, guided into truth, and equipped for lives that honour him. May we be a church which is shaped by the word, anchored in truth, and guided daily by the voice of our faithful God. Amen.